I'm Sam Fuqua. Coming up this half hour, the Boulder Public Library is trying to help bridge the digital divide, but the supply of computers can't keep up with the demand. And the successful state ballot Proposition 118, paid family and medical leave, was opposed by many business groups. We'll hear from one small business owner who takes a different view. And our regular Thursday morning conversation with John Lendorf on Radio Nibbles. BBC News again at the bottom of the hour, and then Alternative Radio's David Barsamian discusses the situation in Nagorno-Karabakh. As you heard on the BBC a couple minutes ago, the president of Armenia signed an agreement earlier this week that is supposed to end the war in that territory. David Barsamian will bring us perspective and history that is not often in the coverage or the conversation about this part of the world. At 9 o'clock, we look at cyberbullying. With the pandemic moving most kids to online learning, there are more opportunities for online conflict. We'll talk with the author of a book on cyberbullying. And our day of diverse music begins at 9:30 with the Morning Sound Alternative. All that's still ahead on listener-supported KGNU. Checking the state and local headlines, Boulder County reported 290 new coronavirus cases Wednesday. That's the second largest one-day case number ever recorded in the county, slightly less than the 292 cases reported on November 5th. As of this morning, Boulder County remains on what's called the orange level, safer at home, but county officials plan to announce new restrictions later today. More school districts are moving to all remote learning due to the increase in virus cases, including the Boulder Valley Schools, but the St. Vrain District has delayed that decision until next week. St. Vrain Superintendent Don Haddad says the district will make the decision at a special meeting on November 18th. Haddad told the St. Vrain School Board Wednesday that the district is not seeing high case numbers within the schools, but the increasing caseload in the community means that going to all remote learning after Thanksgiving is, quote, a very, very real possibility. Colorado's economy continues to struggle during the pandemic, but there are hopeful signs. Steve Miller reports.
Colorado business is showing more signs of a recovery from the COVID-19 economic slump. Leeds Business Research Division at CU Boulder reports that nearly 39,000 new businesses filed initial documents with the Secretary of State's office in the third quarter of this year. This is up 24% from last year, while 150,000 businesses filed for renewals. That is up nearly 6%. Filings for businesses that are closing also rose significantly. Leeds also said that quarterly indicators are often early signs of jobs and business growth, but the Colorado economy is not back to its pre-recession status as the pandemic continues. Panelists were leaning more on the pessimistic side, but are feeling better about the economy than they did at the beginning of 2020. Other figures show that Colorado's unemployment picture continues to improve, with a rate of 6.4% in September compared to 12.2% in April. There are about 80% fewer oil and gas drilling rigs in Colorado than there were in October of last year, and home price growth is slowing but still remains higher than wages and inflation. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
And the Salvation Army is planning a large campus on Denver's west side. The social service nonprofit plans to build housing for families transitioning out of homelessness. The property is on Alameda between Stewart and Vrain Streets. The new development will also include the Western United States headquarters for the Salvation Army. The Denver City Council voted this week to rezone the property so that the group's development plan could move forward. Councilwoman Amanda Sandoval supported the project but expressed concern that the Salvation Army might sell the property later. Partly sunny in the metro area today with highs in the mid-40s, overnight lows in the 20s. Sunny and warmer tomorrow with a high of 55 forecast for Friday. It's 10 minutes after 8 o'clock at listener-supported KGNU. The digital divide, inequitable access to computers and the internet, is coming further into focus during the pandemic as kids learn from home and families stay at home. The Boulder Public Library has been giving away laptops and other devices to help out. KGNU's Rosanna Longo visited one giveaway event and has this report.
As of next Tuesday, November 17, Boulder Valley School District students are expected to switch to remote learning. Remote learning presents barriers, especially when you lack access to devices and accessibility to internet. For this reason, Boulder Public Library and the city's Housing and Human Services Department partnered to create the Bridging the Digital Divide program, a program funded by the CARES Act that aims to expand access. Devices and hotspots were given away for free at the public library. I'm here with KGNU Community Radio, and I'm doing a report about the importance of access to internet and the importance of access to a computer. Tell me your name and explain what is happening right now.
Well, I can do my best. I'm a volunteer, so I don't know all the parameters of the program. My name is Debbie, and the city, in combination with the library and some other local organizations, have collected devices to give out to the community. So Chromebooks, iPads, hotspots, just to make the bridging the digital divide, is I guess what they call it, trying to make it easier for people to be able to be online.
And your experience so far, there are a lot of people coming and a little disappointed because there's kids here asking for the computer and you run out of.
Yeah, I mean, all of these are donated, so there's just a certain amount that we have. So hopefully we'll be able to get another compilation. So it's actually available for older adults as well, 55 and older, so people who in that community and kids from K through 12. So there's kind of a large demographic that needs devices. So at this point, it's all we have, and we'll try to get more.
Today was the last day. Do you think you're going to have more days offering these?
You know, I don't actually know. Maybe someone who's involved with the library program would have more information. I've just been told that they'll attempt to get another grant. So they got a grant for these devices that they have gotten, and then they'll try to get another grant and give those to the people who are kind of on our wait list. And at this point, I don't know.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Devices and hotspots were given away for free at the public library in Boulder on October the 23rd in the morning. Young students expected to get a hold of those devices, but due to the high demand, they ran out of them, leaving some young students disappointed. Students were advised to register in a waiting list, hoping to be able to receive a device in the near future. A ver, dígame cuál es su nombre, a qué escuela va, y why is so important to have an extra computer or to have more computers in the house.
Well, my name is Ricky, and I go to Centennial Middle School, and the reason you could have two computers is the reason is because one, let's just say it's your online school, and another one is like for your parents to check like online things. And yeah,
it is important nowadays that we cannot be in class. What are your thoughts about online education? Do you like it?
Well, I don't really like it, but so we're gonna have to do it.
So why is it important to have a computer? ¿Por qué es importante tener una computadora ahora?
Because since it's the pandemic, you need a Chromebook so you can do online school.
But you have one that the school has given to you.
Yeah.
Is that enough or you are in need of two?
Well, you might need two in case like you don't want the other one to like break or something. My name is Anthony.
Which school do you go?
I go to Casey.
Casey Middle School, awesome. So you do bilingual there?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. Please give me your name, your the school, and your thoughts about the situation that there's no more computers for you today.
My name is Laura. I go to Centennial Middle School.
It was supposed to be until 4:30, but they ran out of computers.
I think they should have gotten like more, like extra, because like a lot of people need them. Because like they said, the pandemic, some people need to like fill out some stuff, do work, study. Yeah.
Are you really good at computers?
Kind of, not that much.
Good luck in getting those computers, okay guys?
Okay.
For KGNU, I am Rosanna Longo.
16 minutes after 8 now at listener-supported community radio. In last week's election, Colorado voters showed strong support for Proposition 118. It directs the state to set up a program for paid family and medical leave. The program will be funded by contributions from employers and employees. Chambers of Commerce, the business advocacy groups common to most cities and regions, mostly opposed Proposition 118 or remained neutral. But not all business owners agreed with that position. We spoke with Jimmy Birds. He owns Colographic, a sign company that employs 13 people at their shop in Commerce City.
Small businesses can't afford, bigger businesses can afford such things to offer to their employees. Small businesses can't, but we care about our employees. And we also know when they take time off, for somebody to take 2-3 weeks off or a month, it's such a large percentage of their pay for a year. It could take them a couple years to catch up. And we don't, you know, when somebody's out, we don't, you know, we'll figure out how to make things happen without them until they come back. But we wouldn't have, you know, money for temporary help very easily if we're paying them out of our pocket just because we feel like it's the right thing to do, if we could.
Have you had a situation at your business where you thought state program would really help me?
It probably would have more helped the employees. And mostly that's been, well, you know, I have one person out who kind of, you know, the way we've been splitting up our shifts and stuff and they're working from home, got COVID and it didn't spread to here. But, you know, this person is out with COVID and, you know, without maybe any. It's in their first year and they don't have a bunch of extra time. Then, you know, we've had pregnancies over the years. We've had people's spouses have babies and, you know, they can't take time off or don't a lot of times. And then the person who actually had the baby does. And again, if they've used up all of their time off, you know, they're starting out a new family and having to work out of the hole.
Most of the chambers of commerce in the metro area either opposed this or in the case of the Boulder Chamber, they were neutral. I'm looking at the Metro Chamber of Commerce website now, and they recommended a no vote, basically saying that businesses are currently struggling due to the pandemic, and this is one additional burden on them. Obviously, you think different. Are the chambers of commerce out of touch with business owners, or what's your response to that?
Maybe I'm out of touch with business owners. I really, you know, think of it more as a right thing to do. And, you know, I know when it was trying to be done legislatively that it was going to be, you know, a buck from me, a buck from the employee a week or something minor like that. If I can't spend, you know, $50, $100, or $150 a year per employee, I'm running too close to failure anyway. So, you know, I look at something like that, and like I said, it really just comes down to the right thing to do. And if we're all doing it, it levels the playing field. And, you know, if you really look at what that would end up costing the end purchaser of our products, it's so minute that it just doesn't even register. And again, where people think I can't afford this, well, we can all incrementally raise our prices that little bit if that's truly what it takes. And we're all doing the same thing. So, you know, to do things like that, it's very hard for one business owner who wants to do the right thing to do good benefits for their employees and still be competitive.
It is interesting that the paid family and medical leave is a shared cost model, similar to a single payer or Medicare for all.
You know, it'd be my assumption, and I really don't have the data to do the math, but I would bet that the taxes I would pay per year so that everyone, you know, we all pitch into the same thing, you know, a Medicare type thing, would be less than the cost of the insurance premiums I pay on everyone, because our insurance premiums include money for people who don't have insurance, because the hospitals, the doctors, the, you know, anybody who does care at some point has, you know, to cover that, has to get it from somewhere, and they're getting it from those of us who can pay anyway. And a lot of those people that can't afford insurance have jobs. And so if they were just putting a little in like Social Security, and it would be far less than Social Security, or the even the business owner was doing a match, it would still be far less than these huge insurance premiums. Plus, you know, that type of system doesn't need to include profit in shareholders.
You're a member of Good Business Colorado. What is that organization?
It's a business organization where, you know, like chambers and things like that, they, a lot of times with their membership, they'll check in with everybody and see if we want to take a stand for something. And a lot of times we'll then also lobby for things. And the basis of it, and the reason I was attracted to it, was because, you know, they want to make sure businesses succeed. They want to actually include, you know, the environment, and then doing the right thing for people in general, human beings that actually do the work.
How has your business been doing during the pandemic? How have you been impacted at Colographic?
Well, you know, we're doing all right. That PPP money was, you know, helped me keep people's jobs. I haven't laid anybody off. We are down one in headcount from attrition, but other than that, you know, we're doing okay. You know, it'll be nice when this is over. And, you know, but it, you know, we're, if it wasn't for that money, we'd really be operating in the negative.
You know, although most chambers of commerce opposed it or were neutral, then some newspapers editorialized against it, some were in favor, but the voters spoke very clearly, 57% in favor, 42% opposed. That's a very wide margin in support. What does that tell you about the Colorado voters and paid family and medical leave?
It tells me that the people who are working probably were, you know, that may not have voted for it a year ago with COVID, probably went, you know, this might make a big difference, because they know the difference it made getting PPE money, or getting, you know, when they're on unemployment, getting that extra money. So they, you know, they're kind of looking at, wait a minute, this is how this truly affects me. So I think that's why working folks voted for it. I don't know how many people who are members of chambers and own businesses voted for it, to tell you the truth. And, you know, when it comes to chambers, they generally will fall on the side of no new costs or taxes or fees or anything like that, almost always. So, I mean, that was to be expected, I think.
That's Jimmy Birds. He owns Colographics, a small sign shop in Commerce City that employs 13 people. He's also a member of Good Business Colorado. It's 24 minutes after 8. Sunny skies today. Temperatures in the mid-40s on the Front Range. Time for our regular Thursday morning feature, Radio Nibbles with John Lindorf.
Everybody eats when they come to my house.
Radio Nibbles with John Lindorf from his home kitchen in Louisville. And we're talking about a timely film event related to food that also deals with health and nutrition. We also have a new cookbook to tell you about. Hi, John.
Hey, Sam. Hi, everybody. Yeah, November 14th, the Boulder Flatirons Film Festival is going to host two streaming films. And one of them is called Sugar Coated. It's a documentary about the health effects of sugar. And In Defense of Food, that one includes Michael Pollan, who's going to stop in on the Zoom, and also Ann Cooper from the Boulder Valley School District. And so over the course of a day, you get to watch these two films, and there's a Q&A, and you can also order food, healthy food from restaurants to go with the films.
Well, it's good to see the Flatirons Food Film Festival continuing on in a virtual way during the pandemic. It's this Saturday, November 14th. Website is flatironsfoodfilmfest.org. Well, another event that has had to get creative because it can't really happen during the pandemic is First Bite, the Boulder County Restaurant Week.
Yeah, remember back in the old days, Sam, when, you know, like, we would, like, go out to dinner with a bunch of people shoulder to shoulder, sharing food from our plates and
yes.
laughing and eating.
Yeah, well, I do miss that.
Can't do that, but we can cook and have a good time. And so what First Bite is doing this year, they put together a new cookbook, which I literally have in my hands here. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful big color cookbook, including recipes from 15 different Boulder County restaurants, Basta and Black Cat and Black Belly and Cafe Aeon and Leaf and Oak. Not too chefy, you know, things you can actually cook at home. And it's just come out.
You can cook recipes from some of your favorite Boulder eateries. And I know that some of the restaurants are offering it when you, what, buy takeout from them?
You can get the book free from some of them if you order takeout. But also, they will give you the ingredients to make the recipe that's in the book, and you can make it at home. And they're happy to help you do that. I'd like to mention that I have a recipe in there for blueberry pie. And I also have an essay in there that looks back at the last 10 years of food in Boulder and how we ended up so foodie.
Well, I'm sure it's worth it for your blueberry pie recipe alone. You can check it out at firstbiteboulder.com. Any local food news this week?
Again, continuing in our pandemic theme, Salt Restaurant in downtown Boulder is going to close for the winter on November 29th. The challenges of outdoor dining and tight spaces indoors just didn't make it viable. On the other hand, there's a new coffee and tea place in Longmont, Cuppa House Coffee and Tea on Francis Street in Longmont.
And what's the best thing you've tasted lately?
I made my first visit to Yaya Orchard and Farm. It's like on the edge of Longmont on the way to Lyons. They got farm animals. They got, you know, it's a petting zoo, and you can pick your own apples. But the biggest thing to people like us who make apple pies is that they have wine sap, fresh wine sap and Cortland apples there, and Harrelson and other obscure varieties that are great for pies. They got a whole bunch of other stuff. It's open Wednesday through Sunday from 10 to 3.
I am going there. As you know, the wine sap is my wife's preferred baking apple and very hard to find.
Yeah, I would get I would bust out and get a bushel while you can, because it's really hard to find those.
Okay, well, Yaya Orchard and Farm near Lyons. Don't forget, folks, John is offering a food waste series on Fridays, and check it out at the news website via kgnu.org. And John, just before we go, we want to put in another plug for the food drive.
You know, in the past, you know, you would go shopping and there would be people at the door collecting cans of tuna fish and peanut butter and stuff. You still can do that to help out local organizations, but they seriously need cash. The demand is double, triple of what it's been in the past because of the pandemic. So help out if you can.
All right, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bon appetit.
'Cause everybody eats when they come to my house. All of my friends are welcome. Don't make me coax you, moax you.
John Lindorf talks about food every Thursday morning at about 8:25 here on the KGNU Morning Magazine.